Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Real quick before we get started, Carlo, we have an event coming up here in Kalamazoo called Catalyst University. I think you have one of your favorite speakers that's coming.
You know, Nick, I sure do. And I love Catalyst University. It's one of my favorite events that happens every year. But this year is extra special because the one and only John Acuff is hitting the Catalyst University stage. And I know many people know from our economics conference that we just wrapped up in Nashville this year that John is an amazing speaker, a very awesome author. He's my favorite person to follow on social media. And he's just going to be bringing leadership insights and really practical tools that can help you to not only be more productive in your day, but also to lead others well, whether you're in a management role right now or you aspire to be. I think all of the faculty that will be hitting the Catalyst University stage have something to really invest into leaders. And we would be really remiss if we didn't invite our economic development friends to come and check out Catalyst University this year. It's in Kalamazoo, Michigan, our hometown here at Consultant Connect. On Thursday, June 20th, it's a beautiful, beautiful place to be in Michigan in June. You won't want to miss it.
Yeah, so to get signed up, you can visit www.catalystuniversity.me. It'll give you all the information to register online, or you can email me, nick@consultantconnect.org, and I can arrange for yourself or bring your whole team up if you'd like. So we'd love to have you. So visit the website or email me, nick@consultantconnect.org, for more information.
Welcome to another episode of the America's Jobs Team. I'm Carla Soans, and today I have the great pleasure of talking with David Rumbarger. And David is currently the president and CEO of the Community Development Foundation down in Tupelo, Mississippi. And I just really, really am fascinated by David and his leadership journey and the fantastic team that he has built down in Tupelo. He has over 30 years of experience now in economic development, and he's going to talk a little bit about some of the amazing accomplishments that he's had in Tupelo since he's been leading there. But just to put in perspective for the listening audience, under his leadership, Tupelo has been ranked top 10 in Site Selection Magazine 10 times since 2006. That is an amazing accomplishment for a great community that is being led by an amazing individual. I hope you learn a lot from the podcast today and walk away with a lot of wisdom from the great David Rumbarger. Well, David, welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you with us today. I just have to start by saying that when I started out in this business almost 5 years ago, I asked a lot of people, who are the people that I should know and look up to in this industry? And economic developers and site consultants alike, your name was always on that list. And I have never heard anyone say anything negative about David Rumbarger. So I am really excited and just delighted to have you on the podcast so that we can learn from you today. So we're going to dive in. And our first question for you and how we start a lot of these podcasts is really just reflecting on leadership today. And I'm just curious what you think the biggest challenge facing leaders today is.
Well, thank you, Carla. That was awfully nice of you to say, and I appreciate that. It's been a long and an adventurous career in economic development, and it's changed quite a bit. And today's economic developers, if they can't manage change, and that's in a variety of forms, then they probably shouldn't be in the business. Change is coming at us quicker than it's ever come. Change in the laws and the mandates, the permitting processes, change in the way companies look at expansion and site location. Just the whole process of automation and being able to hire the right people. I mean, people are being very picky about offering jobs to the proper people and skilled. And so there's a lot of evaluation going into that. In the past, we just said a job is a job. Any job is a good job. And today, really, there are good jobs. And good jobs pay more than the average in your community. And good jobs are hard to recruit because they're demanding more and more incentives and other things. So if you can't manage that challenge of change, and even in the middle of projects, You know, a new boss takes over and the project changes its complexity. And if you can't handle that, if you worry about that, if that keeps you up at night, it's probably not healthy to be an economic developer in today's environment.
Yeah, everyone says that economic development is such a hard job. And in the past 5 years, from my experience, it keeps getting harder and harder in the fact that it is ever changing. And you have to stay on top, not only of what industries need, but also what the economic development industry is needing from you and just how the world is just reshaping itself almost continuously. So I 100% agree with you there.
Still good jobs and bad jobs today. You know, in the past, there was really just jobs, but today, good jobs are fully benefited jobs and positive work environments at the proper compensation, doing the right types of work. And so there was never really a good jobs, bad jobs scenario until the last few years.
Yeah, and that's really reshaped how economic developers are recruiting new companies and how even communities are feeling about the work of the economic developers in their communities. Like, are these the jobs that we should be recruiting? Are these the jobs that we should be incentivizing? It's just an interesting time. I'm glad you pointed that out. So what is one characteristic that you, when you think about leadership and you think about not only the legacy that you've left, but who you've learned from, what is one characteristic that you think that every leader should possess? And if you could, David, if there's somebody that has been an example of that characteristic for you, this is a good time to kind of give them a shout out too.
Well, I think it's economic developers have a multitude of successful talents in order to be ultimately successful. When you look at it, probably inspiring would be a top characteristic, to be able to inspire your local community to achieve, to inspire the companies that you work with, to see the vision of diversity and the vision of distinctiveness that they will have in your community, inspiring communities to invest before they actually get the bell cow industry or that type of thing. You have to paint that future picture of a state that you want to achieve. And that aspiring or inspiring methodology is probably one that I would say is probably one of the most critical characteristics. And I look for that not only in economic developers, but in site selectors too. To me, some of the ones around the country are very inspiring. But my favorite, of course, is John Gordon that I heard at your Catalyst about 7 years ago. And, you know, the energy bus guy. And, you know, there's people like other folks say, man, John is just so corny. But when you look down to it, there are some fundamentals that John teaches about, you know, waking up every day, you know, looking at things as half full instead of half empty, pursuing your dreams day by day, one step at a time, just some blocking and tackling. And it helps you renew your vision for what you do as a profession. I mean, because there's a lot of times you get knocked down by industries, by businesses, by governments, by regulation, by not being as what the client wants to be, but then the client doesn't know what they want. It's just a lot of disappointment from time to time. And you've got to kind of work through that. And you got to bring your volunteers along with you. You can't show your disappointment. You can be disappointed, but you have to see that glass as half full and figure out a way to the end to make it over that hurdle, whatever that hurdle might be. So John's one of those people. In our business, somebody like Grace Swope is a great leader and inspirer. You know, Ron Kitchens, our good friend, is another leader and inspirer. And those guys have been inspiration to me along my path in my profession.
That's awesome. I also really, really like the Energy Bus and John Gordon. I obviously like Gray and Ron too, but that Energy Bus is a contagious way of thinking and way of leading, where you're thinking very intentionally about how do I create energy so that people want to stay on this journey with me, doing this work alongside each other. Is just a really awesome tool and way of reframing your everyday.
Absolutely. And you know, you're allowed to throw a pity party for about 2 seconds, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can be disappointed. And you know, that's why you've got a good staff and some good people around you. And confidentially, you can be disappointed in what clients or what companies or what governments have to say or do. But in the end, you have to figure out a way. You have to make it better. You have to add to the equation.
So thinking about behaviors of leaders, what is one characteristic or trait that you've seen derail a leader's career? And how do you personally guard against that?
There's a couple of three. I think humility, aloofness, pride. I mean, I think you have to have humility, but aloofness and pride are your enemies. And the way I guard against that most conveniently is having a good spouse that brings me back to reality, and a good team of players around me here at the Community Development Foundation that help ground me and help say that's a harebrained idea, or oh, that might work, you know. And it's really engaging. So many in our business say, well, that's somebody else's problem, or that's the government's problem, or that's the client's problem, or that's whoever it might be. You know, putting off these problems on somebody else. We're hired to be problem solvers, to figure out a way around those hurdles that are placed and obstacles in our way. So I think that aloofness and pride would probably might be my two candidates for downfall of economic developers.
It's awesome. And it's nice to always have that group of people that you know is around you that can call you out from time to time and say, hey, check yourself before you wreck yourself here. So it's awesome that you have a wife and just people in your network that are able to kind of guide you in that safety net. Some people don't have that, and it's nice when you do.
Absolutely.
So David, you have had a great career so far, and I know there's been amazing professionals that have worked for you that have went on to do great things in other places. When you hire somebody in economic development, what is one piece of advice that you feel really compelled to pass along to people who are entering into this profession or just starting in their own leadership journey? What's the David Rumbarger piece of advice for a newbie?
Well, and it's one that I tell myself routinely, and that is listen before you lead. So many times we are trying to communicate our opinion, our vision, our solution, our answer, and we may have some great ones. Don't get me wrong. That's why they pay us well to do our jobs. But at the same time, if we are not empathetic, if we're not open to listening to the people that we work with, whether it's governments, volunteers, or industries and clients, then we miss a large part of that solution or interaction. And we become, again, it's that trap of pride, thinking that we know more than some of the people around us, even the young people around us. They've got a different way to look at things, a different perspective, come at it in a different manner. And all those opinions are valuable. And I would say, listen before you lead, listen before you leap. And it's hard to sometimes because you're anxious. You know something that somebody else doesn't know. I'm a solution-oriented type leader, and I want to find that solution, and I want to get to it quickly, and I don't want to waste a lot of time. But at the same time, the process, you need to honor that process of everybody being able to have input. The best leadership days of my career have been when we've all said, we did this, not me did this. And doing that, you listen first. And a lot of times that listening can really kind of hone in, even if you had an idea that might be solution oriented, it hones that idea even fuller, and it allows people to buy in. And that process is invaluable in leadership.
That's gold. Listen before you leap. I really like that. So when you're thinking about your own self, you've had the opportunity to be in this field for a while now, and I know you still have a couple of years here left. How are you continuing to grow as your own leader? Like, how are you reinvesting in your own self these days?
Well, I think today I try to balance that between technical education things. I mean, this whole trade issue that has come about over the last couple of years has been a real learning experience. So I have used both IEDC and federal forums, and a lot of the information that's out there on trade, Wall Street Journal, et cetera. But there's also another component, and that's your professional leadership, you know, your style, your perspective. And for that, I mean, I'm a very addictive TED Talk listener, and I've also been to Catalyst, Carla, several times, as you know, and we've even started a thing here called Ignite, and we've done 2 years of that. And John and several of your famous speakers have come there. And so it's a balance between that technical part of your business, always trying to stay on the cutting edge, understanding what opportunity zones are, understanding the other things that are new and innovative in our business, and trying to apply those to your local area. And then the other side is to make sure that you grow your leadership platform internally, and that you continue to learn and earn and know more about that. So it's a kind of a twofold effort, and I'm an auditory learner. So your podcasts are, great for me. I subscribe daily.
Awesome. That's what we aspire to do, is to just throw things out there into the world and hope that people catch on and are able to use them for their own good use. in their own community. So I'm glad that you're enjoying them. That makes me go to bed here on this Friday feeling really good that we're doing good things. And I loved working with your team as they were exploring the idea of Ignite down in Tupelo. You have an amazing team.
I do.
They are hands down one of the most professional and fun group of economic developers there are around. So David, as we're thinking about, you know, change, and you talked about, you know, needing to embrace change, we have a lot of individuals in economic development that move jobs all the time, and they move from one community to the other. What advice do you have, or how do you feel like economic developers just know when it's time to change jobs like that?
That's a difficult question. First 10 or 15 years of my career, I moved 6 times, and you almost had to move up in responsibility and in compensation. And in one way, that's a disservice to our profession. I've been now in Tupelo for 20 years because in Tupelo, I found an organization that already had matured in its own leadership and vision. And what they wanted to do is to go to the next level. And they've been able to do that here this last 20 years. But my advice would be is that there's a balance between local, whether it's government, chamber, economic development, the maturity of the leadership there and the perspective that they have on economic development in their communities. There's a certainly a resource base. In other words, the finances have to be there to be able to grow. But a lot of times I hear economic development say, well, they just don't want to pay for that. Well, you've got to create a, and build a vision for them to be inspired in order for them to invest and pay for that. Our county just spent $3.5 million on a new industrial park. It took us 5 years to get there. So you've got to be patient. And at some point in time, you've got to, had an old leadership friend that used to say, you've got to bloom where you're planted. At some point in time, you've got to put down some roots and decide where your kids are going to want to have their hometown and where they want to be from and where you want to build your own personal leadership legacy. And that's the passing along of what you have done to that next group of folks. If when you leave, it all goes back to nothing, you have not built that. And so in Tupelo, I had an opportunity to spend some time here and to build on a great foundation here from a man who'd been here 43 years and a great leadership core group that understood the roles of volunteers, government, and the economic development organization. And so when that's out of sync, when any one of those three elements, the volunteer leadership, the organization, the dynamics and funding, and your personal growth, when any one of those is out of sync, I think that's probably an indicator of a time to either leave or reform where you're at.
So, David, this next question is one of my favorite questions, and it's kind of a wild card in here, but just living in the times that we're living in and doing the work of economic development where we really are aspiring to create jobs for not just our community, but for the country that we live in and for all Americans. What does it mean to you to be an American?
You know, you gave me that question ahead of time, and it probably was the one that caused me a lot less sleep trying to figure out what I was going to say. And, you know, we travel the world, so we get to see a lot of different economies. We get to see a lot of different governments, a lot of different communities, and some beautiful communities and some really old and unique places around this globe. But America itself, when you get to the crux of it, we have the ability to change our future, and we have that freedom to change our future. Now, some of us take it and some of us don't, but that's the choice of that community. The community has the ability to forecast its destiny by its investment and by the manner in which they approach problems or opportunities going forward. And I think that is the uniqueness of America, is that you can change your history if you're determined to do it. Now, it's not an overnight deal. It's something in some cases will take infrastructure. It'll take, you know, education reform. It'll take, you know, gubernatorial reform. But it is a possibility for Americans to change that dynamic and change their future. And I don't see that as we go around the globe. In some communities, yes. But in a lot of cases, it's a single person's vision versus a community vision that makes things happen. And I think in America, we have a sense of community, trying to make our community better. It comes back to the Friday Night Lights football syndrome. We all want that star football team to be able to achieve and win the state championship. And in a way, economic development has become that state championship that you want to achieve, not at the expense of others, but in your own right, with your own resources and your own leadership and your own destiny. We don't look to, in our case, Jackson, Mississippi, or to Washington, D.C. to make our future. We look to the leaders here in Tupelo, Lee County, Mississippi, and that has been the dynamic that has really driven us for over 70 years in this business, and it's one that I think is unique in America.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with you. I mean, we hear, you know, it's land of opportunity, but the power in a community to really make changes right at home is so powerful. And I've seen so many communities and heard people's testimonies saying, you know, people said that could never happen in a town the size of Tupelo, or in our case, Kalamazoo. And I think it's a fun journey when you can get a community to embrace that they don't have to play small ball and that they can become something that they aspire to be, despite what maybe other people have pegged them to be. The power of community is awesome. So our last question here, I know time is running out with us, Dave, but my last question, and I'm really, really excited to hear your answer for this, because I can think of lots of reasons that you should be proud of your career, but curious, from the mouth of David Rumbarger, what has made you most proud in your career?
Well, you mentioned it before. I have so many people that I've worked with that are now all across the South and the Midwest that are professionals, and that they maintain a high standard of their professional quality. Those folks that we've worked with, people that I've had a chance to mentor, I think they're my proudest achievement. What they would say probably is obviously recruiting Toyota in 2007 from an economic developer standpoint. I mean, we were at the turn of the century in 2000. All of our furniture manufacturers were going to China. We were outsourcing jobs almost monthly. We had one of them close, and our politicians kept looking and saying, what are we going to do? And we had to have what we called a home run strategy. We couldn't do baby steps. 100 person plan at a time wasn't going to cut it, because Lane Furniture announced a 3,000 person layoff. So it was a critical time. And we worked together as a group, three counties, 15 supervisors, three mayors, two development organizations, and aspired to create an OEM site, and had a chance, good fortune, blessing to recruit Toyota's number 8 plant, the Corolla plant, that just announced their 2020 model and 400 new jobs. So it's the annuity gift that keeps on giving. But, you know, this has been and it's certainly not over. Thank you, Carla. But this has been a great ride here in Tupelo to diversify that economy. And now we're diverse in many fields in Tupelo and in advanced manufacturing. And it all started with Toyota back in 2006, 2007. So they have been a tremendous blessing to this community.
Well, congrats on your home run strategy, you know, actually giving you the grand slam, it sounds like.
It did, obviously.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today, David. I know you're very, very busy down in Tupelo, and I just really appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your day to spend time with us on the podcast so that we can share your wisdom with the rest of the listening audience.
Well, thank you, Carla. It's been a pleasure being with you.
Awesome. Well, everyone, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with David Rumbarger as much as I did. He is just a class act, super fun. I really enjoyed having him on the podcast. Now, next week, you're going to want to stay tuned, because we're going to be talking with Brian Hilson from Birmingham Business Alliance. And Brian is making some great moves in economic development. He actually is leaving Birmingham and taking a new adventure. So stay tuned, listen in, you'll hear more. Thank you.